Good morning, and welcome to all of those who are worshiping in Woodside, those watching online, glad that we can be together. And I'm going to invite you to take out your teaching notes right away. We're going to jump into the message because you're going to need them. I've got a couple interactive expressions to the message today. As we continue the series called Honor, Reclaiming What Matters Most. And we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. Today we're looking at commandment number five, which reads, Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. A simple, straight-up call of God to honor your mom or your dad and your dad, whether you're young or whether you're old. And we're going to give our energy to that today. This week, I got a letter from a dear friend of mine, 30-year friendship, really love this couple. They've been living in Asia for a dozen years. So I always look forward to communication with him. And he said something really interesting in his letter. He said, quote, we find that the older we are, the more we are looked up to for direction in this culture. In Asia, gray hair doesn't just get you a discount at Perkins. It buys you respect. Isn't that true sometimes? You feel like maybe as you become a senior in our own culture, the best benefit is a 5% discount in local retail outlets. But in Asia, it's about respect. And I pray that we're reclaiming what matters most, this honor that is due to our parents. Do you think in our culture and time that we're experiencing honor drift when it comes to respect for our parents? Guess who said these words? The world today is passing through troubled times. The youth of today are thinking of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or for old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they know everything. And what passes as wisdom to us is foolishness to them. Anybody? Comes from Peter the Hermit in 1274. How about these words? Fascinating, this picture. Youth is corrupt, lacking in its respect for its elders. This is an inscription for an Egyptian from an Egyptian tomb dated beyond what they can even fully measure. The point is, some people of every culture and every time embrace this commandment as alive for them. And there are some not so much. And so I suppose it's about weight in every generation where you have many who do and many who don't, and it changes with each generation. The question really then is, how about you? Do you embrace the fifth commandment as alive and active for your own life? In fact, if you look at your teaching notes, your first interactive exercise is about to come to you. Take a look there, and you'll find that there is a continuum with numbers between 1 and 10. And it's categorized with these words, my present view of my parents. So on the line marked off 1 to 10, if 10 means high value and 1 means low value, where would you put your present value of your parents today? Where would you put them on the continuum? And by the way, if you're sitting next to your parent, don't put anything. Because they won't hear anything I say. They're going to just be consumed with what you write. So just put it in your head right now, if that's the case. And some of you are nudging your parents. But land it. Okay, everybody just do that in your head. Where would you put your present value of your parents on that continuum? If you put somewhere on the continuum 4 or below, you probably don't pay a whole lot of attention to your parents. If you marked on that continuum 6 and above, you probably do a pretty good job writing them, calling them, serving perhaps their special needs in their lives in this given chapter, whatever the case might be, but you're more actively engaged with paying attention to them. If you make a decision today to move up on that numerical continuum, just one digit, I think this will happen. I think your feelings will follow. And I think that you will pay attention in a way that's congruent with the mark that you would have. So my hope is that we would not simply learn about the fifth commandment, but that we would all take a step up. You may want to go 2 decibels, but you know, a little bit like losing weight, a little at a time. You kind of move down the progression here of honor, and that God will be pleased in so doing. I also realize that some of you have put 3 or less because your parents have behaved cruelly to you. And I mean cruelly, not annoyingly. I mean, parents can be annoying at times, right? Okay, but that's different than being cruel. Being cruel is a whole different ballgame. And some of you grew up in homes where that's been the reality of your journey. And my heart goes out to you. And for some of you, you feel like it's morally impossible to abide and embrace this command of honoring your mom or your dad. And I realize there are such cases, but I also know that they're rare. But I'm going to invite you, even if you come from such an environment, because I'll address it as my last point today, even briefly so. But I would invite everybody in the room, even if that be your reality, to loosen the grip around your own view so that you could hear anew what it is that God calls of us concerning this command. I have three questions. The first one is this. Why did God give us the command to honor our father and mother? I mean, the very fact that we find it here is a reminder to us that it's important to God and that he has an intention behind it that's important to us and our quality of life and is important to the very society in which we live, or he would not have placed it there. But in this particular command, God actually gives us the reason why we're to observe it. It says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, that your days may be long. One scholar interpreted it this way, quote, if you build a society in which children honor their parents, your society will long survive. And the corollary is true. A society in which children do not honor their parents is doomed to self-destruction. Oh, this becomes a very important commandment when we understand it in light of this. I'll say it this way, that when you honor and obey your parents, you will escape a good deal of sin, a lot of poor judgment and a danger, and therefore avoid the things that could threaten and shorten your life, and even the ripple effect of shortening the society, the community in which we live. See, sin robs us of life. Honor lifts up life, and it just permeates environments with the goodness of God, which is coming at us all of the time when we honor one another in our relationships and in our family systems. I don't know if you saw this clip this past week. I was deeply moved by it. It was on a news program. And it was the footage of a wedding. And the bride is about to go down the aisle. It's an outdoor wedding. And her father has been stricken with leukemia for a long time. And he's wrestled with leukemia and has ill health because of it. He's not able to walk, hasn't been able to walk for a very long time. He's in a wheelchair. And you know, every bride dreams of her daddy walking her down the aisle, if at all possible. But I will tell you, every daddy dreams about walking his daughter down that aisle. And that moment when the bride and the dad are coming and he's in a wheelchair and they come to that center aisle, unbeknownst to everybody in the room, including the daughter, he's been working overtime with a therapist to learn how to walk so he can get down the aisle. And as they get to the aisle, he stands up, to the shock of everyone. People kind of rushing to say, you can't do that. And he begins to escort his beautiful daughter down the aisle. She's crying. He's crying. Everybody in the space is crying because honor is in the room. And it just permeates the environment with the goodness of God. That's why God gave the fifth commandment, to honor both mom and dad, whether you're young or old, because it gives society sustainability, and it brings blessing into your personal life and family system. That's the first question. The second, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? Or let me state it this way. What is actually happening when you honor your mom or your dad in such a way that it would generate society sustainability and personal blessing in your life and in your family's life? What's actually taking place? Well, this is what's happening. First of all, I'm going to give you two expressions of it. There are probably many more. But first of all, we recognize our need for it. We recognize the need to have honor in our family system. It said that parents may want to be honored, and they should want to be honored, but children need to honor their parents. A father and a mother who are not honored are essentially adult peers of their children. They are not parents. There's something hard for us to fully grasp with this, but it's important, so I want to say it out loud. Sometimes in our culture in North America, we value our children loving us as parents more than honoring us as parents. And in so doing, we create a peer relationship, and we put at risk something greater that God is doing in the family system where honor is to take first place. Yes, love is to be an expression of honor, but not the other way around. And I think there's an aversion for some parents to even want their children to honor them because Honor implies some kind of authority, and we have an aversion to authority in the general sentiment of our culture, so it makes it difficult. Let's be sure we have the scales tipped in the right way. Out of honor will flow an appropriate love expression, but more importantly, sustainability in society and blessing in our lives. Our generation has measured the consequences of growing up without a father more than any other generation that's walked the face of the earth. We can measure its impact and its significance when there's active honor or lack thereof. Harvard University had a study that found out that 6 out of every 10 juvenile delinquents had absent fathers. So when there's not a father to honor, it impacts the goodness and the flow of life. 3 out of 4 lack parental discipline, or parents being interested in their friends, their kids' friends, or the social interests that they might have, the recreational pursuits that they might have. It's like they're detached from the reality. And when honor is missing at home, it has this trickle-down effect that we need to pay attention to, because we find that there's little respect, sometimes no respect, then for teachers, or for employers, or for those in authority over us, whatever that might be. But the well-being of the family, the well-being of our nation depends on this fifth commandment. Oh, it's a big deal that we know all of the commandments and seek to live in them. We need it. And secondly, this is what's happening with this commandment. We recognize there is a moral authority above us. Friends, we are not the standard of the moral authority of what is right and good for our lives. That there's a moral authority above us. Yes, in reference to parents, but you see what's happening here. Parents become a microcosm of the ultimate authority, which is God himself. And that his voice and his will and his way become our voice and our will and our way, that we're lining up with him. And he uses the parental family system to be part of this. That parents represent moral authority. And we point to the ultimate authority, who is God. Friends, it's difficult to come to honor God without having a parent to honor. And the honor that we show our parents is a tangible demonstration of our honor to God himself. And failing to honor our parents is dishonoring God itself. And without this honor, we simply cannot create or maintain a moral society. It becomes a moral compass. Oh, we see the elevation again of the fifth commandment. The third question, how do we honor our father or mother? And mother, I want to say. I keep putting or in there. How do we honor mom and dad? Okay, now this is supposed to be the most interactive part of the message. And what I've done in the last 2 hours, I can't do with you. I had everybody take out their phones. Isn't this cool? We were going to do this interactive thing together, which we did, but we shut down our live stream last hour because of everybody's engagement in it. So everybody tuned in. I want you to go to Facebook. You see in the teaching notes, I have a link for you to go to the Westwood Facebook page with 2 questions. Let me at least put the questions up. I'm going to ask that you not take your phones out. And I'm assuming that we were all tuned into the message totally, not in football fantasy realities along the way, but that we were really focused the last couple of hours. But I can't have you interact with me in the same way. But I'm going to give you the assignment that sometime in the next 24 hours, would you go to our Westwood Facebook and would you answer one of these 2 questions? As a child, what have you done that truly honored your mom or your dad? Or as a parent, what has your child done that has truly honored you, and you've known it? You see how important these questions are. You'll find this at the Westwood Facebook page. I'm asking that you would find and place 1 post sometime in the next 24 hours. I'll tell you why. This week as I was preparing, I thought, wow, how do we honor mom and dad, and how do we receive this honor? And I could create this list, but it would be a long grocery list. Secondly, I thought they'd be my ideas, not yours. And the wisdom in this room, here's the reality. As children to parents, you know when you have honored your parents. And you know as parents when you have received honor. And if we could help each other grow on that continuum to take that lift 1 decibel on the view of your present view of your parents, I think there would be rich blessings for all of us. So here, could we let the wisdom of our community of faith help us move the ball down the field? And over the next 24 hours, would you go to this site? I'm going to give you 3 categories that might stimulate. So maybe what you do is you write down the 1 post idea that you have around one of these 3 categories, and then later on actually post it so we can keep all of our friends online. Wherever you're watching around the world, we want to keep having you watching us. First of all, honor them with your attitude, that you fulfill the fifth commandment when you honor the Lord with a proper attitude. Attitude is the flow of so much good in our lives. We choose happiness oftentimes on any given day because life is hard. And an attitude of honor that values and treasures our parents is a choice that we make. If for no other reason, you are here in this room with breath because your parents brought you here. Be thankful for that gift in and of itself. Pinch yourself. You got flesh to pinch. God used your parents to bring you into this world. Say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Maybe that's as far as you feel like you can go. And I hope there's a whole lot more than that. But it starts with treasuring your mom and dad with a proper attitude. And that attitude include a spirit of thankfulness by that gratitude. When you see the Hebrew culture and how the rhythmic pattern of dealing with complaint in the Hebrew scriptures, the antidote was one thing, gratitude. That when you express gratitude, complaint gets diminished. Have you ever tried to say something that you're thankful for in the midst of a complaining spirit? It's really hard to be thankful for anything. In fact, you tend to create a bandwagon of negativity by those who are even around you along the way. But it's a call for us to be thankful for our parents who do a whole lot more for us than ever we could possibly remember or even articulate in appreciation. Second, have an attitude of honesty. I say this particularly to those of you who are still in your homes. You're under the authority of your mom and dad in the home. Would you really lift up this value of honesty? If there's anything, and I think I can speak on behalf of my own journey with four kids who are now in their adult years, if there's anything that a parent appreciates most from their children, it's their ability to speak simple, straightforward truth in love. Isn't that true? That when you feel or sense that your children have created a subscript of life of which you are totally clueless to, and you get little evidences of it, it just erodes joy and trust in relationship. And for children to know that honesty in relationship is one of the greatest gifts you can give to both family sustainability, but to civilization stability. And yet all of us struggle with this disease called the Adam and Eve complex. Because of our sin, we create our own realities in life and the journey, and we have these little closet realities that we would never want mom and dad to know about. And it leaves the family system vulnerable. If you've been here any length of time, you've heard me say this. I really believe it with all my heart that the power of secret destroys. It destroys joy. It destroys trust in relationship, not just familial relationship, but in collegial relationships, in friendships, in marriages. The power of secret destroys. Nurture an attitude of honesty. It will make a difference. It will build a character of trust. It will benefit you in the classroom and in your career. But as well, it will improve relationships greatly. So that might be a Facebook post you'd want to include, something that you've seen where gratitude has been demonstrated, or honesty, even when you've been dishonest and confessed it, and how it brought relationship into a good place again. There may be a post that you would put there. Secondly, honor them with your actions, that you fulfill the commandment that is the fifth commandment when you act on what you've heard. So it begins by listening to your mom and dad. Proverbs 1:8 says, it honors parents to listen carefully to their counsel. And so when parents say something and children listen, it brings an immediate honor, which, by the way, parents can smell it if you're listening or not. Many of you think that, oh man, I'm not totally in another world right now and nobody even knows it. And they go, oh no, they know it. They may not know what to do with it, but they can smell your detachment from the reality of their life. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Don't you love the simplicity of scripture? Just puts it on the table. This is just right. Let's do what's right and embrace the call to listen and obey our parents. And then we find that in so doing, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That our parents do not have the privilege to ask us to do anything they want. They need to be of the Lord. They can't ask us to lie, and then we embrace that. That's incongruent with the will and the way of God the Father. So it does need to align with the purposes of God. And we find, secondly, under this call of action is to speak well of them. If you go into Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 10, and the verses that follow, more than I can unpack in our message today, you'll find that Jesus upholds and affirms this fifth commandment to honor our mom and our dad. But He also goes on to talk about how we speak of them, and we are called to speak well of them. And if we curse them, you got to go and read this. I mean, it can be devastating to your life. Pay attention to how you speak about your mom or your dad. And I think even in the colloquial, casual kinds of ways, be guarded around language that says, my old man, if he only did such, you know, just how we even refer to our parents is reflected in this spirit of honor. We're called to honor them. And it's the reinforcement of Jesus here as well, because speech is the primary expression of honor. We find that God picks the Hebrew people to be the means by which he'll bring blessing into their lives and through them bring blessings into all of the world. What's fascinating about this is that it's how people will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And in order for the blessing to go from one generation to the next generation requires a continuity of honor from one generation to the next, which hinges on speech. In the scriptures, we see that if children spoke ill of their parents, that it would, yes, break down the family, but worse, it could keep the blessing of Jesus Christ from even going from one generation to the next. You realize that this fifth commandment is a hinge to us even seeing God's mission for the world fulfilled. He uses us to lift up what that generational blessing looks like, and how we speak of parents becomes critically important in that process. So you might want to put a Facebook post around how you've honored your parents by listening to them, even when you've not wanted to listen to them. And then to be able to go deeper, hopefully, with expressions of honor in their journey. Would love some ideas around that. And the third one is honor them with attention. And I want to do this in two ways. First, I want to speak to those who are children and teens who are still living in your homes, that you have received so much, and to learn how to give away to others becomes part of that rhythm that leads to happiness. But to give to your parents the honor that is due them is an important expression of God's favor in your life. And when you give attention to mom or dad, if I could speak to this generation who are young and at home still, when you give mom and dad honor by acting in a way, giving attention in a way when there's no money involved, no allowance coming your way, nothing coming for your own benefit, just to do it because it's the right thing to do, the honor that they experience and feel is really motivating and will bring blessing in your life in other ways as well. So, I mean, in the simple things, right? Parents, you know this. If your children wash the dishes and you don't ask them to wash the dishes, you want to fall over flat for just a moment and breathe. Kids, when you do things and you're not asked to do them, you're stepping into the wind of honor. And it brings lift to the whole family systems. Which, by the way, can I call this out for the younger generation? You know that you are the most creative generation that's ever walked on the face of the earth. The most innovative and creative generation is this youthful generation. So apply that to honoring parents. Come up with the best innovative ideas on how to honor your mom and your dad. They can be simple and have profound impact. And then a word to older children, like me, and others. A good number of you, your older children, right? We have a call around this commandment as well, a responsibility for aging parents especially. And if you're in that chapter, you know the vulnerability of aging parents gradually need more help because of changes in their life. Sometimes it's physical help, sometimes it's financial help. No one hates this more than your parents. Our parents really want to preserve the quality of their life as much as they can and independence as much as they can. But the tendency of human beings is to devalue that which has little tangible use to them, at least in America. Now, if we're in Asia, it might be a different story, but we ought not do that. The fifth commandment protects our aging parents. I'm so glad for that. I think about it even as men. When I think about getting to that chapter of life change where I can't do all the things that I want to do and the freedom to do, I know one of my greatest losses is when my kids take my car keys. Because car keys are a symbol of freedom, of joy. I love the automobile. I don't have an inappropriate affection for it. I just want to be clear. I just love the creative capacity that God has given us to design something with four wheels or two wheels or three wheels that can do what it does. Guys, do you agree with this? And to take my keys from me, when I just got back from Asia a week ago, I mean, I was excited to see my wife and my children first and foremost, but then I got in my car and I took myself for a nice ride. No destination, just taking in the beauty of this thing called the automobile. These simple little things matter to us. They do. And when we no longer get to have them, it impacts our relationship. So for us older children, as our parents get to this chapter, treat them well. Treat them with honor and respect, as though they're as important to you because they are when they were raising you. Support them financially if you can. Invite them into your home. Enter into meaningful conversation. That may require that you ask them questions that get them off of first base to get to second base, to go to that deeper place. Do odd jobs for them. There's a few suggestions. What specific things like this could you put on a Facebook post that would help us? For those who are in an aging parent reality, it's a gift to give. I'm in this place, and I have so many friends. Many of them are you who are in that place as well. And therefore, this becomes a common conversation in many of my outings these days. And I just want to say, I want to commend so many of you are doing this so beautifully. So I learned so much from you. Let's learn from each other, the different things that we're doing to honor our parents. Leviticus 19:32 says, we should honor the aged and revere God. Isn't that interesting? They go together. Honor the aged and revere God. When you honor those who are older, you are honoring God himself. I found this whole list of scriptures, none of which I'm going to put on the screen today, but a whole list of scriptures about honoring those with gray hair. And I love that because we have this whole urgency to color our hair. But gray hair in the scripture is a picture of just incredible honor and respect as we age. And I realize some of you turned totally gray at 30. I get that. And it's not because you were aged, but I'm just saying to you, you know, soak in all the honor you can get. If you gray early, see it as a gift from God for us to honor people who gray early. One of the great joys of life, I think you would agree with me, is knowing that God himself pays attention to us. He models how we ought to do this with each other in our most important relationships and parental relationships. In the Hebrew scriptures, there's actually a metaphor that you find repeated again and again. And the metaphor is the face of God, the face of God. And you find all kinds of examples, but none more premier and important than the Aaronic blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. See, when we honor with this kind of blessing, blessing is the picture of God's goodness coming to us all the time. Blessing comes with it. He says, may I bless you and keep you. Keeping is about protection that we have, that his face might shine upon us, that he'd just look into your face, straight up into your eyes and be gracious. The goodness of God coming at you again and again, giving you peace. Anybody in the room needing a little peace in your life? It comes from God first and foremost. And it flows through the relationships that we have with each other. So you might want to Facebook post this. If you are a parent, how has your child paid attention to you? Or how have you paid attention to your children in a way that honor has been the outcome? One final question before we go. What does it mean to honor if your parents are not honorable? The broad principle of honoring our parents reminds us really how important the work of parenting is. That good parents create a healthy, God-centered environment for the family. That's one of the wins that we have. And it takes a lot of love, takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of intentionality, an incredible amount of patience to do the job of parenting really well. And this work can shape amazing human beings. And you are among many of these amazing human beings. And so we find that this commandment is important, but the commandment does not say only honor terrific parents. Anybody see that anywhere in the scriptures? That's our inclination. Let's honor the good ones and the terrific ones along the way. And I think every parent in the room would agree that no parent is perfect, and I feel that. Matter of fact, I think most parents feel insecure about the task of parenting, and I think some feel like they are utterly unworthy to receive any honor. And I wonder sometimes if we compromise and say, then if I can just get my kids to love me, that would be good enough. And we've lost the honor dimension and link, which is critical to civilian civilization sustainability and a personal blessing in our lives. See, in God's economy, this effort is such a good thing. It deserves great honor, especially from people who benefit from it most, the kids. We ought not fail to notice or to take for granted our parents and all that they have done for us. Still, a lot of damage has been done in the name of obedience by insisting that abused children ignore their pain and heap false praise on their parents. I do not want to do that, because abuse, friends, in the scriptures, is always sinful. And in your lives, always leads to brokenness. So I want to validate that. But having said that, it's possible to acknowledge abuse and to discover ways in which you're capable of showing honor to your parents. And I think it depends on the work that you're willing to do. Hopefully the receptivity of parents who can come towards you to this end, even admitting abuse as well as the level of abuse, because it's different in those coming out of that environment. And you may need Christian counseling. You certainly will need to have a good Christian friend with whom you can unpack the story of your journey to find that wholeness and that healing, that freedom that God intends for us to rebuild trust. Obviously, it would require a whole message to get into the specifics of it, so I just want to give you a resource. If you come from that kind of background, I still think that honoring God is demonstrated through honoring parents, but how do you do it when you've been in this kind of environment of having dishonorable parents? And Dennis Rainey wrote in a book, it's actually a little dated now, but it's still one of the best resources I've seen, called The Promise, or The Tribute and the Promise by Dennis Rainey. And in it, he actually gives specific ways in terms of how you can move forward by respecting this commandment, but bringing healing to this relationship. And it even has a section that deals with parents who've passed on, who've died, and how do you bring reconciliation and hope. If that be your given place, God is with you, and he'll help you so you can embrace the fullness of the commandment in God's way in your situation. This is the fifth commandment. It's been a great series for me personally. I pray it has been for you. And I just think it's wise and good that we would stand and close in prayer and in song. So I invite you to do so and join me with your hearts. Lord, we are so glad that no matter what kind of parent we have or have had on this earth, we have a Father in heaven who is always honorable, who always knows our tender spots, who proves and protects, who listens and loves. You're always there for that purpose. And we confess we're all a crazy mixture of a lot of good and bad in our life, and you can see our fallenness pretty easily. But if we've accepted Jesus Christ, your Son, into our lives, we also embrace this beautiful world and this word that you've given to us called redemption. What a word. That even in the midst of a world marred by sin, the strength of your love and forgiveness is capable of allowing us to offer kindness to people who didn't show that to us. That happens because of you. So I pray, God, that we will give you praise and glory. And I pray, God, that you would allow us to demonstrate grace to others that even surprises you as we look to your Son on that cross in the midst of his suffering. In his final moments, he sees his mom at the foot of the cross, and in his agony, he blesses her and reminds us that you are the God who watches over us and cares for us every day in every way. Might that give us confidence and freedom as we seek to honor our parents and in so doing, honoring you and the gift of life given to us through Jesus Christ.